Your children's pastor was up here and he said something amazing. He said, you know, when it's rain, when you're in the season when you might call it rain and you're not on the sun side, you're on the rain side, and you look at things and you say, you know, this might be rain. He said, man, when you worship and et cetera. See, the message I've been preaching all weekend is that you're not decided by the rain. You're decided by him. So you're not a product of how things are going. You're a product of who he is in you. So your pastor nailed it. He said, there's nothing more precious than when a person understands that he's still amazing and worthy of worship no matter what it is, sun or rain. Because if that's not true, then he becomes your table waiter or your busboy or your genie in a bottle, and now you're only going to give him according to how things are panning out. The Bible talks a lot. Oh, you're sitting right there. You did a great job. And I just loved you, man. Like, I leaned over. I said, this guy is awesome. Didn't I say that? I leaned over, I said, this guy is awesome. I mean, he just nailed stuff like he did the Thanksgiving thing. He said, some of you guys are out of me. Like, no Christmas before Thanksgiving. And that's how people are. They're like, why is it already? It's not even Thanksgiving. And people do that all the time. And it was just fun. I had fun listening to him. But that was profound at the end when he said that, because the Bible talks about Thanksgiving constantly. And about in all things. In all things. Not for all things. In all things. In all things. Give thanks. Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why? It keeps your heart humble and your eyes focused on what it's really all about. When you lose your thankfulness, you've turned inward and you're only discerning how things are affecting you personally. And then you'll be driven in a realm of prayer that's coming from frustration or desperation, not communion and love. And you'll quote the right scriptures from the wrong places and reduce this to a doctrine. You're quoting to get help instead of a relationship where faith works through love. Okay? Don't do that. That's not cool. Okay? Don't lose your thankfulness. You have so much to be thankful for. You say, no, you don't understand. No, no, you have so much to be thankful for. This life we're living, guys, is a little wisp and vapor of time. Don't put all your chips here. Live as a sojourner, as a pilgrim. You are passing through, and don't forget it. Don't you make this all about here and now. You make this all about him and then. Come on. You're a pilgrim and a sojourner, and you found a homeland. It's not here. You're in the world. You're not of the world. You're heading home. Make every moment count. Don't live in discouragement. Don't live in despair. Don't live in unbelief. Don't let your heart get frustrated. I talked this morning about guarding your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Guard and protect your heart. You are not people with issues. You're people with the kingdom of God. You don't have a whole bunch of problems. You have an amazing answer. It's called change your view, get your eyes single, light comes, and everything looks different. Come on. I'm telling you, if God, this thing is so simple, that I think it frustrates some people because they thought it's difficult. He said, well, I'm trying to live the Christian life, brother. I'm thinking, I don't know if you understand it. It's not some, oh, oh. If God can change your eye, he changes your whole life. Yeah. If he can just wake you up in the morning through truth with a whole different reason for being, then you're not surviving anymore. You're not just making it all about you, what he can do for you, how he can bless you, how he can fulfill you. If he can wake you up through the truth of what he did through Jesus Christ, and you wake up and have a whole new reason for being, that's probably born again. Or born again's a position, and it's a name in a book, and a trumpet's going to blow, and someday we're out of here. But I'm still frustrated. People still bother me. I'm still not always that encouraged, and fear freaks me out because I'm afraid. But I know he died for me, and I know he loves me, and I sure need a savior, but I'm not living like I'm saved because I'm letting the wisdom that was be the wisdom that is, and he's the Lord, and a new wisdom's come. Boy, that was catchy. I couldn't repeat that. That was awesome. Did I make sense when I said that? I was just touched by that. I thought that was good. I have no idea what I just said. There's no way I could repeat that. Spirit. I was hearing the Wizard of Oz song. Wonderful wizard there was. I thought I said something like that. I don't know what I said. I'll have to get the tape. Write it down. I might preach it sometime. No, man, in all you're getting. Proverbs says in all you're getting, in all you're getting. In all you're getting. Well, let's look at it. Proverbs 4. We've got to look at that quick. Man, I wasn't even knowing we were going anywhere where we're going right now. That's what's fun. I'm on a journey with you. So good. You're like, I wonder what people are so funny. Ministries, they don't do it anymore. They used to say, could you send us an outline of what you're going to preach so our sound men can be ready so we can put all the scriptures up and da 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 da. And I'm like, because I don't want to freak them out. I don't want them to not let me come and think, well, he's unprepared. Because I have no clue till I flip on the mic and step up here and open my mouth. It starts coming. I'm on a journey with you. I don't even think about what I'm going to say. And it's not more anointed than my pastor at home that preaches with notes. He hears God. He prays. He seeks. It's just the grace I'm called to. It's what God told me. Here's what he told me years ago. I was 3 days old in the Lord, actually. 3 days. I mean, that's like
spiritual huggies, you know.
Powder me, rock me, pamper me. Wah, you just wah, so he rocks you, you know. Wah. 3 days saved.
I like you so much.
I do. Your heart is wonderful. Just wonderful. You bless me every time I look over. Did you notice I look over a lot? Do you know why? What I see when I look at you blesses my heart. You are a picture of innocence and sincerity. And Jesus loves you so much and is so excited about what you're letting him do inside of you. And don't you believe anything else, or sweetheart, you are believing one wretched lie because you are adored by him. I have looked at you 1,000 times. Is it true? Have we made eye contact over and over? You know why? Because of what I see in your heart every time I look your way. You are so attractive to him. Keep your heart growing in that place. Stay innocent and precious in his sight. And don't believe anything else, or it's a lie. Yeah. Every hair on me is standing up right now. And it was for you. But I got something. I think I'm feeling the pleasure he feels when he looks at you. Whew. I would take that word. Give that to me. That's just true. I'm not a hype guy. I rarely do that stuff in the middle of preaching. But I couldn't take it anymore. You've been bothering me for a while with this. Oh, my goodness. I feel all gushy right now. Help me, Lord. One of them prayers, help me recover but not recover, you know. Okay, let's jump in here. I gotta make time because that clock is like, okay. It says, hear my children the instruction of a father. Proverbs 4. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now watch this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Isn't that intimate and amazing? Talk about wisdom. Do not forget her. And she will preserve you. Love her. And she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. That is powerful. It doesn't say in all you're getting, get blessing. It doesn't say in all you're getting, get more money. This doesn't say in all you're getting, get a better job, get a nicer car, Get a green light, not a red.
Christians are funny, man. They're like, I have so much favor. Every light I go through is green. And I'm thinking, but somebody's red.
Don't you care about that? God always gives me the front row. That means somebody's in the back. Why isn't it you now and then? It's just amazing how Christians think for themselves. And they think blessing is those things. Blessings is heart and nature in you. Blessing is knowing Him, living Him, and shining Him. I'll tell you, blessing is the gift of wisdom and the grace of understanding. That your eyes see what you never saw before. So now you're empowered to be what you never were. Because if the God of this world can blind their eyes, then they'll never be what they're created to be. But if you see, you can become. This thing's all about your eye. Your life lived is all about what you see, where you live from, and what you believe. In all you're getting. Not some of your getting. It's so all-inclusive, isn't it, Pastor Jack? In, this is not a good idea. It's the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. Why? Why is he crying that out? Why is he saying be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Why in Romans 12, 2 is he saying don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind? What transforms you is thinking different. Believe in different. Then your emotions will realign to truth and the old ones will leave. The emotions you've lived by aren't the ones God gave you. They're the ones that got perverted through self-centered thinking. That's why you fear. That's why you're angry. That's why you're discouraged. That's why you're frustrated. Stop, please, church, that stop believing that's normal humanity. That's the fall of man. That's something where you're in denial. Everybody's going to know. When you have that belief, well, everybody's going to, that's why you do. You have a landing strip for it. You'll never repent. You'll never change because you believe it's normal. But if it's not producing life, it can't be Jesus. Amen. If old things pass away and all things become new, I bet it's our mindsets and our foundation of wisdom. I bet it's all things. I bet it's my reason for being, my motive for life. Come on, all things. He's not just taking away the bad and ugly. He's not just fixing the things we broke. He's making us new. And if the eye is single, then the whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, your spouse just cheated on you. That's a touchy one, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you let one person closest to you in your life's bad decision decide you. For maybe the rest of your life. One unfortunate decision and no ability to cry for them because you were counting on them. And now you're broken. And the rest of the church understands your brokenness. And I honestly wish we wouldn't without being insensitive. Because it's tragic if one person's decision steals your productivity. It just can't be God. Or God's rendered powerless because we've messed him up a long time ago. We're his bride. Man, is this room thinking right now? It's amazing what I'm feeling and perceiving. I had a man in my life whose wife left him because of unresolved conflicts and she wasn't getting from him what she wanted. She got on an internet and called it love. It's not love. It's delusion. You wouldn't even be looking there if you weren't hurt. If you were pursuing Jesus and following Holy Ghost, you wouldn't even be attracted there. You're trying to fill a gap that only He can. You're licking a wound that'll never heal. It's delusion to be married and tell me you're falling in love with someone else. Your eyes are in the wrong place. It's an emotional fantasy. But this wife gave him divorce papers out of the blue, shocked him, got on a plane and left to sleep with a man she never knew. Two little children. He You spent 5 days in his bedroom screaming, yelling, banging the walls at God. Why did you let this happen? How can she do this? God, you got to bring her back. God, where are you? God! For 5 days, Pastor, screaming, yelling, distraught and broken. 5 days goes by, the Lord comes strolling in the bedroom. Not arrogantly, not flippantly, he just made himself known. He called him by name and said, would you stop praying this way? You don't have a problem. He said, what do you mean I don't have a problem? I'm holding divorce papers. My children no longer have a mother. My wife's in the arms of another man. What do you mean I don't have a problem? See how we think? Analytical. The way that seemeth right. Makes an amazing, entertaining talk show, and the whole audience agrees with his screaming. He's a victim. She's a villain. Trouble is, with that, nobody wins still. He screams that to God. He said, I was never so mad at anyone in my life. The veins were popping out my neck. He said, Dan, I screamed and could have lost my voice. I screamed, what is this, a joke to you? What is this, funny? What do you mean I don't have a problem? And he laid out his case. And the Lord didn't budge and whispered gently to him. He said, it's exactly what I said. You don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. And then he came upon him and gave him this impression. How is it possible that I live in you? And for these last 5 days, all you can think of is yourself and what she did to you. And you don't even regard my heart towards her and towards the situation. How is it that all you can think of and cry for is you? That was God talking to him. Trouble is, 99, well, almost percent of the general church at large doesn't understand that conversation and consoles the person's pain and empowers them to stay the same. Now they take maybe years, if even possible, to walk through it and maybe believe they can never get over it. That limits the gospel. And it doesn't make you new. It makes you a product of what they did, not a product of what he did. And all of a sudden we take on religion and sing all the right songs and live from all the wrong places. And then we let our church attendance take the place of knowing him and being like him. And we sing he's our joy and our strength, but we have no joy and strength because we're letting that be determined by others, not truth. Now I can really hear you all listening. I love this congregation that's been gathering here. You guys humble my heart. This is awesome. There is such a receptivity in this room, it's ridiculous. In a good ridiculous. Thank you, people. I mean that. I don't talk like this a lot. It's going to make me cry. Thank you for hearing. I can tell when people hear. There's a humility in the room right now that I've not perceived in a long time. Like a corporate humility, like a everybody listening thing. That excites my heart like you have no idea. Because I didn't fly here to correct you and set you straight. I flew here to tell you who you are. And I honestly think you're believing it. And it's got me a little nervous and excited. So I actually don't feel like I'm plowing ground. I feel like I'm watering something. And it's growing. And I feel like you're really hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So pursue peace in your homes. Don't let animosity come in there. Don't justify an attitude less than love. Don't say, well, I wouldn't feel this way if they wouldn't stop making them Lord. Lord means to govern over, to rule, supreme being, supreme factor, ruling factor. That's a general meaning of Lord. You can go deeper. That you can understand that. The Lord means to govern over the supreme ruling factor of a thing, the supremacy, right? So when you say, I wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for this, this, and this, they're justifiable excuses to remain the same. You're going to stay in the flesh because you're making this, this, and this Lord, but this, this, and this isn't the truth. So why are you bound by it? Why are you letting people determine who you are when Christ in you is the hope of glory? Amen. Why do you need everything to go your way to be okay? Why do we get driven and tricked into just our whole prayer life is surrounded around protection and good circumstances and glassy seas? God never told you it would be that way. And he never told you that was the gospel. I know some preachers have, but he hasn't if you read the book. He said, you're going to suffer persecution if you live holy and godly. Some people are against me, and if they hated me, they'll hate you. I look at the days of the early church, and I think, man, I just don't know how America would handle that. I think the best we're prepared to is to picket and protest. And express our rights. That's a little strange when we all denied ourselves. Where's all the rights coming from? When you give up yourself, you give up your rights to obtain one, to be like him. And if you can't find it in his life, you don't want it in yours. If you can't find the words you're thinking in his mouth, get them out of your thinking and let them never come out of your mouth. Are you guys with me? You're double dipping. It's going to be good. She said, we're coming to both services. I said, are you double dipping? She said, we're double dipping. Your heart is so awesome. 90 years old, sitting there so excited to double dip. I love it. Really? Yeah. Well, you're double dipping, so we're going to be a cup running over before long. See, people say to me a lot, they say, man, don't you wear out, don't you get tired, people pulling on you, you'd be preaching all the time, don't you? I said, nobody ever drinks out of my cup. People think ministry can wear you out. Ministry, pastors believe ministry has this great price. And it's just called your own will and your own self and your own life. That's not a great price. You're giving back what was never yours. That's, I didn't pay a high price for what you see in me. I had the joy of being with him. So nobody drinks out of my cup. Like if you were drinking out of my cup, I'm going dry. No, you're drinking out of my overflow. You know, in my head, my cup runneth over. You're playing in my saucer. Look, you are. Spiritually, that's exactly what's happening. People say, you're like an Energizer Bunny. No, he can't hold a light to what's in me. The Energizer Bunny will die way before you'll ever see me even slow down. I'm just serious. I'm ministering out of the overflow of who he is in my life. I'm ministering out of my relationship with him. I'm not doing ministry. I'm doing him. And I don't know what it means to go dry. Because you ain't drinking out of my cup. In fact, you can't even reach the rim. It'll push you down. It'll flood you up. You try to get to the rim of my cup, it'll be more than you're probably bargaining for. In all you're getting what? I have so much fun, and then I keep thinking, oh my goodness, I'm on a time clock. I probably ought to get more zeroed in here, huh? No, it's all right. We're doing good, aren't we? Honestly, this morning we already said enough to get walk out truth. Seriously, because Sunday mornings, you know what it's about? It's a corporate gathering. So look around the room and realize I'm not the only one believing in inner race. I'm not going to turn inward. I'm never going to do the Elijah system syndrome. I'm the only one. And there's people all around me. We have a family. There's a body here. Whether I know everybody or not, man, there's people on the same page, and God has a plan for our community and our lives. And you just stir and you corporately worship him. Thank you, young people up here. That was awesome. We corporately just love him and sing and worship him. And then what happens is somebody comes up, pastor somebody, guest speaker today, and just stirs you in love and good works. And our whole goal for coming to church is not to do church. It's to be church. Our whole goal is to come, be trained and equipped, sharpened, encouraged, so that when we leave, hopefully we look just a little more like Him than when we came. Or you're just going to do church. And you're going to go home and you're familiar with family and life's the same. And you're yelling over the TV channel and you're mad over. It stops the power of God. It keeps us from growing into what's possible. You're just mad over where you're going to eat. Well, you picked last week. Well, I wish I could get a choice sometime. Doesn't my opinion matter? That's just normal stuff that happens in every Christian family, it seems. Not every, but I mean, a lot. And the trouble is we just say, oh, well, we all have our stuff. We still have each other. We get over it. No, you'd be amazed how it dulls things and stops the flow of love. Because it's us catering to one another, and it's give and take, and it's I do for you, you do for me. That's not love. That's not covenant. Covenant is all that is mine is yours. And the recipient of that turns and says, wow, and all that is mine is yours. And two become one, so that one plus one is a stronger, empowered one. Marriage isn't 50-50 and a lot of work. Marriage is, I love you. You say, well, I don't think they love me. Stop. I love you. It's marriage. It takes one in a marriage to pursue peace and have peace and make peace. It takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace and hold the fabric of a family together in peace. It takes two to tango. I refuse to tango. There's nothing my wife could do to make me tango, and I'm not talking dancing, because that would be true too.
Because I wouldn't have a clue.
I definitely need lessons. You know what I'm saying. I used to do weddings. I don't do them anymore just because of my life and schedule. And I'm very accountable if I stand there. If I'm standing there on that day, I'm not doing a wedding because I'm authorized. It's because I believe it's the will of God and these two are ready and they can have at it and do well. I'm not doing it for Ken and Barbie stuff. I'm serious. When I did weddings, I was serious. I'd have a meeting with them about 5-6 times an hour apiece at least, because I just get going in an hour. So today, I'm a pool court doll today, but it's like this. Usually, today I'm just, I only got 11 minutes and I'm still taking my time. It's crazy. It's just going to work out. I'm just decided to be at peace. But I would have a meeting with the couple, talk to them about covenant and marriage and love, and they'd cry, which is fun. I'd have the parents, if they were all available, if there was parents, whether they were divorced or not, I'd have them all in a meeting. I'd encourage them to give their kids away, both of them, boy and girl. I wouldn't just have the dad walk down with the daughter who gives this bride in marriage, and the dad says, I do, and the mom's saying, I ain't giving her at all. So you never want in-laws to be outlaws. You just got to cover things. And you got to teach them that they're stepping into the highest priority covenant relationship of their life. And you'll always be mom. You'll always be dad. And you got to comfort them and let them make sure they're not holding on too tight. Make sure they're in faith too. So I do all that. And then I get the wedding party in a meeting. Because you're not there to just look pretty and be 5-on-5 and have a great picture. You're actually the witnesses of the marriage. You're front and center. You're right there when God joins too. You're the witnesses. That's what you are. You're the best man and the maid of honor. And the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. And you look wonderful, but that's not why you're there. You're not there for the tuxedo you're wearing. You're there for the accountability and the faith of the union. And you're there to hold them accountable to what you saw them vow and give themselves to. And do everything in your power from that day on to see that this thing stays blessed and prosperous and fruitful. That's why you're in a wedding.
It's really good.
So if the best man is hanging out with the groom 6 months later and he says, man, how's things going? Well, you know, I don't know, man. she's just wearing me down. There was something about her I didn't realize. And she just, he says, you know, hey, I told you, I tried to tell you, and you wouldn't listen to me, dude. See, I knew. Man, see, I knew you weren't ready for this, and she ain't all that, and da-da-da. Next thing, yeah, I think I made a mistake. That is not a best man. That is a bummer. Yeah. Let me tell you what a best man is. The groom says that, and he's being sincere and real, and he's a little overwhelmed, and he's got his eyes in the wrong place. He's being deceived. He's being snared. And he's eating lunch, and the best man says, "What, man, how's things going with you?" And he says, "Yeah, you know well." And he says, "Best man, whoa, stop. What are you saying, man? Why is your countenance low? Since when is this about her and her little fallacies and her little... I stood there when you gave her your life to her and said, I love you. Come on, man. You surrender yourself to Jesus more and you give yourself to her and you bring the best out in her. You be patient with her and you be forbearing. You lavish her with words and with love and you be Christ in her life. I don't want you doing this thing again, man, complaining. Come on, that is not the man I know. And I don't want you degrading her one more time because she's your girl. Yeah, but she, stop it, man. That's a best man. I don't know why I'm teaching this morning, but it feels all right. It's not a normal Sunday morning thing, huh? We get caught up in the emotions, the hype, the Ken and Barbie, the $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 wedding, whatever it is. Depends how much money Dad has, I guess. I don't know. We'll go for it if he's willing. It's not about a wedding. It's about a marriage. It's about Jesus joining you on that day because you gave yourself to one another. And when I do weddings, man, it's I really do good weddings. I really do. I do like them. I just can't do them. But I would step out from behind, and I'd preach to the people and bring them into what God's about to do and what's happening. And it's very non-formal and traditional, and people loved it. They knew what they were getting into when they'd asked me. And I still honored their day. I didn't do anything out of control. But like I'd come around and I'd teach them that now you're going to see God. This is where he joins them. This is where they become one. It's not when I say I now pronounce you man and wife. When they give their lives to one another with faith and vows and promise, God will come and make them one. And we just had some amazing experiences, but I would always do this in the marriages. I would say in the weddings, I would say, guys, and I'd teach on love. And I'd say, I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing love ever says. But before I tell you what it is, I'm going to tell you what it never says. Love never, ever says, I love you. Do you love me? Because all you're saying then is, I love you for me. I love you for what you do for me. I love you for how you make me feel. I love you for... And then your love is reduced to, I need you. It's not even love. Because in your saying, I love you, you're set up to be hurt and broken by them. It's a self-serving comment. It's insecurity. You guys all right? Yeah. You're really looking now. The fall of man has reduced I love you to I need you, but we say the same words, I love you. That's why people say I love you and they're hurt by the same person in no time. Because their love is, I need you to be this for me so I'm okay. So I'd lean in and I'd whisper, and people were leaning, and I would whisper and I'd say, so let me tell you what love only says and ever says. It's the only thing it ever says. And I'll get to the groom, you know, and I'll say, love says, I love you. And I'll get, let me tell you, honey, what love says and only ever says. I love you. And I mean, Jesus is like right there going, yeah, I'll preach it. It's so good at weddings. Do you know in one wedding I saw Holy Spirit with my eyes come over my shoulders, split, went around them three times, went like that, and rained on the people? That's pretty intense. Primary Catholic congregation. Overwhelmed. They ran up to me at the end. They didn't even go to the reception of the bride and groom. They tackled me, crying, saying, what's happening? And I explained what was happening. I said, that's the love on the bride and groom. And we all, I had to take the whole wedding to go see them because they're standing. It was off the hook. Do you know why it was important that those things happen, that you know God joins you, that your heart is sincere and that he's there and you have witnesses and stuff? Because 9 months into the marriage, Pastor, 9 months in, young, did everything right, abstained and did everything right. One of the few I've ever been a part of that actually walked their convictions out to the T. 9 months goes by. They don't talk for 3 days. Bummer. She's a young bride. It's eating her up. The tension's heavy. You can cut it with the knife. He comes home from work. She's there. He walks in, says nothing. Lays his stuff down, disgruntled, walks past her, says nothing. She breaks down and cries out. I knew we shouldn't have got married. I knew we're too young. I knew we weren't ready. She said, we're not ready for this. We'll never make it. She starts falling, but she's just crying out. She's a young girl. Her heart is just, because it's just unbearable. He's walking to the bedroom like, whatever. And he freezes. And he goes, bless his heart. Honey, forgive me. That can't be true, what you just said. You just said we're too young to be married. We shouldn't have got married. It can't be true. If we weren't ready, he would have never came like he came. Forgive me. I love you. And now they're like. Isn't it beautiful? Yes. Truth will make you free. You know what makes me so sad? That I got 2 minutes. Because it's rare I'm sad. You know when I get sad, it's because people won't yield the truth, become what they're called to be, waste precious time they don't have. That's the only stuff that makes me sad. Circumstances don't even bother me. Clock does. I got a vision of God's hand one time coming from heaven, and there was no wristwatch on his wrist. It was amazing. It was so liberating. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, come on, get rid of it. No, I understand the time. We're not here to be here all day. We're here to be encouraged and stirred, to love him a little more than we loved him before, to know him a little more, and to look a little more like him. Please, guys, stay in the race. Please guard your heart. Please don't grow weary in well-doing. Please take everything I've cried out and the things God thumped your heart in, go after it, grow in it, and let it be the expression of your life. Because it's been an honor being here. You guys are like the best. You're so, I can't explain to you. Miss Christie, I don't hype things like that. To my knowledge, I don't hype things. The receptivity of this room is humbling to me. Thank you for your hearts. God is going to do great things with the people I've been looking at all weekend because of what I perceive. I'm telling you, I travel every weekend. I preach. You have no idea. It's nonstop. And I can't tell you the last time I've perceived an atmosphere of the joy of what I'm perceiving in the faces I've been looking at all weekend. So I commend you and honor you for that. Stay humble before him. Get alone with him. Seek him in the secret place and let him reward you in the open. Don't let things decide who you are. Let him already settle that. Keep walking in love. Keep walking in him. I gotta quit. I gotta zero. God bless you.